Thank you, Steve. And as we study the Word of God, let us come before Him and commit the following time to Him. Not only the message, but ourselves. May God teach us. All right, so please join me as I lead you in prayer. Father God, speak to us through your word, because your word is living. Your word is like a double-edged sword that can penetrate, that can help us know what is the meaning, what is in our mind, what is on our heart. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit will guide us too. Illumine us, open up our minds and our hearts so that we can truly understand what 1 Corinthians chapter 8 has to say to us. So Lord, guide us in the following time. In Jesus' name, Amen. Good morning. I'd like to ask you to listen to the following message with a prayerful heart. On the one hand, just be open to God's Spirit as He speaks to you. On the other hand, pray for me because I'm kind of tired. Yesterday, it was a long day for me. My wife and I and many brothers and sisters in this church attended a wedding ceremony. And then at night, we went to a banquet, which was very, very far away at Pitt Meadows. And even if you drive from here to that place, it will take you an hour and 10 minutes. That is far, right? And so by the time we finished everything, by the time I got home, it was late, and also I had to prepare the sermon a bit, touch it up, and so you can imagine, your Pastor Paul is tired. But by the grace of God, I'm standing. And we worship no one but this true God. And in comparison, Paul says, an idol is nothing at all in the world. And what that means is, you know, an idol or any kind of idol has no place whatsoever in this universe. They don't even have a foothold in the world. In other words, they don't exist. They just simply don't exist. You know, no matter what people call the idols, you know, this kind of God, that kind of God, or that kind of Lord. You know, for Chinese, it's like, Gunyam Dai Si Yu Lai Fa Zhou. Have you ever heard that? If you know Chinese, you know what I just said. Now, those idols, that is Buddha and Guan Yin, you know, you've heard of those. Those don't exist. And so Paul says, he points out in, verse 7. Now, amongst the Corinthian brothers and sisters, before some of them became Christians, they had been accustomed to worshipping idols all their lives. And so, you know, they ate at the temples all the time. You know, food that had been sacrificed to idols is nothing to them. But after they became Christian, they were still rationally, emotionally affected by what they did in the past. You know, how they worship the idols, what they eat after they worship. That kind of practice still haunted them, still affected them. And so every time they ate meat, somehow, you know, there is that haunting feeling within them. Has this meat been sacrificed to idols? Am I eating that kind of meat? If I were eating that kind of meat, then I would be participating in worshipping the idols. And that would be not right. That would not be right. Well, brothers and sisters, whether you are aware of it or not, maybe for those younger ones, you still may not have this kind of awareness. For old folkies like me, I know. We are all affected by our past, our upbringing, our habits, our customs, our lifestyles, whatsoever. Freeman is nodding his head. You're such a young man and you know that, right? Now, although in Christ we are a new creation, yet sometimes we cannot really turn around from our old habits. We cannot change right away. It's not to take away God's creation or our salvation. But, you know, if you have been a Christian long enough, you know what I'm saying. There may be some things in our lives that are still plaguing us, that are still troubling us. Something in the past that is still controlling us. Isn't that true? If you are true to yourself, if you are true to God. Now, if we understand this, then we should be more understanding. We should be more compassionate towards our weaker brothers and sisters. There should be a bit more love coming from us. A bit more compassion or even empathy coming from us. Helping those who are struggling in the faith. And there's a Christian. Before he became a Christian, he used to go to the race course, horse racing. After he became a Christian, he knew that he shouldn't continue anymore. And yet, deep down in his heart, there was still that kind of plucking. Plucking him, tempting him to go to the race course. And so from time to time, he would still go. And he shared with the brother who led him to Christ about his struggle. Praise the Lord. That brother did not scold him, did not rebuke him. That brother was very empathetic towards him. He showed compassion towards him. And that really made that struggling brother feel a bit better, more comforted. And from then on, they got together, they prayed, but before they prayed, the brother would ask the struggling brother, hey, how's it going? The intention was, do you still go to the race course? Now, afterwards, they pray, and then, praise the Lord, several months later, that struggling brother won the battle. That kind of plucking is no more. Praise the Lord. So if you know anybody in our midst who is struggling in his walk or her walk with the Lord, you should have that kind of empathy. You should have that kind of compassion. You should have that love from God to help that person so that he or she can win the struggle, so that he or she can really live out this new life in Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul says to those who thought, you know, they had knowledge and they were superior to others, he said, you know, be careful. We do not come to God because of what we eat. You know, food cannot bring us to God. You know, whether we eat or not eat food sacrificed to idols, that is not the point. You know, if we eat it, we are no better. If we don't eat it, we are no better. Well, you guys who claim to have the knowledge, I should be careful. Even if you got that freedom to eat food and sacrifice to idols, you should not eat it. Lest you should become a stumbling block to those who are watching you, who see you. And Paul, in verse 10, continues. He says, if the weaker brothers and sisters see those of you who claim to be stronger in faith, often patronize the temples, often have dinner or meals at places where idols are, wouldn't that become a temptation to them? Wouldn't they think, wow, you know, look at those guys. They are my spiritual leaders. They are my spiritual superiors. And yet, they often go to the temples. They often eat at the temples. I should do the same. But unfortunately, when they try it, you know what? Their conscience rebukes them. Their conscience says, hey, you are worshipping idols because of their past, right? And so those who claim to have knowledge should really sympathize those who are wicked. And they should not just go right ahead and eat food sacrificed to idols at will. Now let me use drinking as an example. I know, you know, most of you are under, you know, age. You're not legal to drink yet. But listen to this anyway. Now the Bible never says do not drink. But the Bible does say do not get drunk. And in fact, science has proved that if you drink a little red wine, it's good for your health. And even the Apostle Paul told his student, Timothy, hey, you should drink a little bit of wine to help your body, to help your health. And Jesus Christ himself turned water into wine. But it doesn't mean that when we have that kind of knowledge of drinking, then we can go right ahead and drink and drink and drink. And to the point that we become, you know, we get into binge drinking and even get drunk. And you know what? When we are drinking, we need to be careful. Other people may be watching us. And we may be affecting other people without knowing it. For example, for us parents, it could be our children. And when they see parents drink, they may be tempted to drink. And so, because for the sake of our love for our loved ones, our friends, our Christian brothers and sisters, let us exercise our freedom carefully. You know, true freedom is like I can pick it up and I can set it down. I'll never insist on my privilege. I will never insist on my freedom. Now, for example, you have a habit of, you know, having some wine during a dinner or during a meal. But when you are having a dinner with a former alcoholic who just kicked the habit, if you intentionally not order any wine during that meal, you are willing to let go, to relinquish your freedom because you don't want to tempt that person sitting in front of you, because you don't want him to stumble again over wine. If you do that, that is true freedom. Now, Paul says, or warns the people who claim to have knowledge that they should not become stumbling blocks to weaker brothers and sisters. If they do, they will sin against Jesus Christ. Wow! What a serious warning. So let us remember, love is more important than knowledge, more important than freedom, more important than our privileges. We should really be empathetic towards people's spiritual situations, and we should never become stumbling blocks to them. You know, brothers and sisters, we are not an island. You know, we cannot just go ahead and do whatever we want. You know, in fact, whatever we do, whatever we say, has impact on the community that we belong. You know, it could affect our families, it could affect our, you know, group, it could affect our church. You know, it's just like a pebble, right? Chucked into the lake. And when that happens, you know what happens. You know, there will be ripples, right? And that's why you get the English expression, ripple effect. And so, we need to be careful with our freedom in Jesus Christ. You know, especially when the Bible has not stated very clearly what we should do what we should not do. What is right, what is wrong. You know, the Bible, you know, doesn't say everything, right? But we must ask this question. Is my freedom, when I exercise my freedom, am I hurting anybody? Am I edifying my fellow brothers and sisters or hurting them? Is this good testimony, especially for non-Christians? Would it put God's name to shame? And we must remember this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, this principle. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. And praise the Lord, huh? The NFL has started, right? You follow the NFL? Yeah, many of you do. Oh, you don't? Well, get on with it, Bill. You know, there is this well-known, right? NFL quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. He's a Christian. In 2005, he was interviewed by ESPN. The reporter asked him, hey, how come you don't wear a helmet when you drive a motorcycle? And he replied, well, there's no need, because there's no law requiring me to wear a helmet. And if I wear a helmet, I don't feel free. And without a helmet, I feel freer, especially when I rev up the engine. A year later, you know what happened? If you follow that, you know. A year later, he got into a serious motorcycle accident. He almost died. And the surgeons in the OR spent 7 long hours in order to save his life. Now, after he was discharged from the hospital, he apologized to his fans, to his family members, to his teammates for his reckless behavior. Because he insisted on his freedom. He was sorry for how he had impacted them. And after the accident, he said, I've learned a lesson about life. From now on, I will wear my helmet when I drive the motorcycle. You know, Roethlisberger was the youngest quarterback at the time. Best two. He won the Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a Christian. And before the accident, he said, oh, I don't need the helmet. I don't want to wear the helmet, you know. The law doesn't require me to wear it. I enjoy my freedom. And before the accident. You know, when his fans, especially the younger fans, heard him say that, you know what went into their heads? Well, if he did not, or if he does not wear it, I don't want to wear it either. Right? And so, for the sake of our love for God and for other people, we should not do things that could hurt other Christian or our loved ones' conscience and cause them to stumble over sin again. And we should follow Jesus Christ's second greatest commandment, that is, love our neighbors as ourselves. Before we do anything, let us think about the consequence, how it may impact people around us, especially those who are weaker in faith, those who are not really that mature in their walk with the Lord. When we think it over carefully, then I'm sure you'll be willing to let go of your freedom. You'll be willing to give up your privileges. You know, Paul says in verse 13, he says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. And that is this famous English evangelist or preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He's a very good preacher, excellent. He was greatly used by God, leading thousands of unbelievers to Jesus Christ. But you know what? He had a habit. You know what that habit was? Smoking. He said, wow, he's a preacher and he smoked? Yeah, sure. In those days, yeah, everybody smoked. Not like today, right? If you smoke, if I smoke, you will frown on me. Wow, Pastor Paul, what's that in your between your fingers? But, you know, he smoked. And one day he walked past a tobacco shop. And he saw this advertisement, as you guys say, advertisement, right? Of cigarettes, a brand of cigarettes. And on the poster, below it, it says, the famous evangelist, Charles Spurgeon, smokes this brand. Wow. If you were Spurgeon, how would you feel? Is that a good reflection on you? And so when he saw that, and when Spurgeon saw that, right at that moment, he decided, right at that moment, I will never smoke again. I am willing to give up that freedom of smoking. I am willing to give up that privilege of smoking because I love God. Because I love the lost souls. So brothers and sisters, today, the gray areas of Christianity are not just about smoking, about drinking, about going to movies. You know, when I was a kid in Hong Kong, people would say, you go to movies? And if I said yes, they frown on you. You go to movies? It's not about dancing, you know. I'm not talking about the dirty dancing, okay? You know what I'm talking about, right? The rays and all that. I'm an old folkie, but I know, you know, those situations, those places out in downtown Vancouver somewhere. But today's gray areas are also about, can Christians get tattooed, right? Can boys wear earrings? Can I dye my hair blonde? And what should I do? But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. But today's chapter, 1 Corinthians 8, gives us three guidelines. And the first one is, we should ask, what is the teaching of the Bible? When I do such a thing, would it betray the teaching of the Bible? Would it go against the teaching of the Bible? And so, brothers and sisters, you guys are still young. You still have a very good mind. You know, study the Bible. You know, at my age, I try to memorize verses. I can. But 10 days later, it'd be out the window. Year in, year out. I can't memorize Bible verses that well anymore. And so, study the Bible so that you know what the teaching of God is. So that you know how to act. You know, the Bible says, the Word of God is what? It's a lamp to your feet and a light for your path. The Word of God can guide all of us. Now if what we are doing does not go contrary to the teaching of the Bible, then that's okay. But sometimes the Bible is not that clear, right? And so we should learn to listen to our conscience. You know, when God created us, He put a conscience in you and in me. To help us make good decisions. To help us make decisions that are pleasing to Him. And so when we face something that we should not do, our conscience would act upon us. Would make us feel uncomfortable. You know, God sometimes speaks to us through our conscience. The Holy Spirit will rebuke us. Will guide us to do the right thing. And so again, I urge you. You guys are, you know, young enough. Spend time on the Word of God. Have some quiet time. You know, you guys are students, most of you. You have tons of time. I was a student before, even though school is so different today. You know, you guys have tons of time on your hands. After 3:30 in the afternoon, from Monday to Friday, what do you do? Besides homework, what else do you do? You sit in front of the computer. You sit in front of the Xbox. You sit in front of the Wii box. Right? Or today you tweet. I know that. I don't tweet. That's why you never found me in Facebook. Not because I don't want to. I just don't want you to know that much about me. Because sometimes, you know, that kind of information can just go around the world 10 times. Now everybody knows who Paul M is. What Paul M does. By the way, you know that? I am on YouTube. But I won't tell you what website. I am on YouTube. Yeah, somebody put it on. I don't know how. But I won't tell you. But it's good. It's good. Alright? And so, you know, spend time with God. Learn to be quiet before God. Learn to meditate on the Word of God so that you know when God speaks to you. Now when we don't, you know, do things contrary to the teaching of the Bible, when our conscience doesn't accuse us, then we still need to consider this. The voice of the conscience, and then we still need to consider this. Other people's interests. Now, Paul teaches us this morning, yes, freedom is important, but it is not more important than our loved ones, than our friends, than our brothers and sisters. Because we love them, we are more than willing to give up our freedom, lest we should cause them to stumble. So, in general, when the Bible says very clearly, gives us instruction very clearly, we should follow. But the Bible tells us we should never have premarital sex. We should never have extramarital affairs. We should never get involved in homosexual behaviors, conduct. So we don't do those. But there are areas the Bible doesn't say much. For example, the music we listen to today. But certain rap music is no good. You know that, right? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't listen to rap music that much, but sometimes I hear the lyrics. That is no good. And also the high-tech stuff, the information highway. So it can lead you to so many not good websites. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about that, but you guys know. We have the freedom. We have the conscience. And we can make good choices, right? And so we should be sympathetic to people, to other people's interests, so that we won't abuse our freedom and cause other people to stumble and cause others to lose their faith. For the sake of other people's interests, I'd rather give up my freedom. I'd rather give up my privilege so that I won't sin against Jesus Christ. Now in closing, let us read this verse together, verse 13. Alright, it's the NIV. Let us read it together. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Understand it, remember it, and apply it to whatever situation you find yourselves in. Alright? So let us come before God and have a word of silent prayer, meditation. What has God spoken to you this morning? What has God spoken to you through His Word this morning? So talk to God. Father God, we are laid bare before you. There's nothing we can hide from you. You see us through and through. You know every thought, every move that we make. Oh Lord, thank you for speaking to us through 1 Corinthians 8 this morning. If there are areas in our lives that we still need to deal with, we ask you to help us deal with it. Lord, also we pray for our church at this time. We pray especially for the deacon board election. You know, up to this moment, we still haven't got a firm candidate yet. Lord, we just commit the matter to you, and we ask you to have mercy on us and guide us through this process. And also we commit to you our new Sunday school. Help us learn your word so that we can be firmly, deeply grounded in your word. And also we pray for the upcoming church affairs sharing gathering. We pray that we can all come together in one spirit, with one mind, to talk about your ministry here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.